In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
Hello and welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. The Money Beat podcast dissects the latest jobs report. Could it affect rate hikes in September? More coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Money Beat podcast on this first Friday in September. Paul and Steve here in the studio. And I know it's Labor Day weekend. I know it's a big holidays coming up. A lot of you are dying. Actually, you know what the beautiful thing about podcasting, Grocer, is people may have already left for the weekend. They could be long gone, still can listen to us.
Could download us. Listen to us on the road.
The absolute glories of technology. And the reason you want to listen to us is because, hey, we had a jobs report today, a pretty important one for a lot of different reasons. We'll discuss the numbers itself and what it means for the economy first. 151,000 jobs created in August. And to help us do that, we have on the line Michael Aroney, who is the chief investment strategist at State Street Global Advisors. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here.
So, let me just throw it wide open to you, Michael. We saw the numbers this morning, 151,000 jobs created in August, 4.9% unemployment rate. What did you make of this report? What stuck out at you?
So the August employment report is very consistent with the broader economic recovery we've been experiencing. It's good, but it's certainly not great. So on the good side, as you've been describing, adding more than 150,000 jobs at this point in the cycle, given the length of the economic expansion that we've had, that's a good thing. Unemployment below 5%, good thing. Broad job gains also across industries, very healthy. So those are all positives. On the not great side, leading industries like construction, manufacturing continue to struggle to add jobs, and we continue to have pretty weak wage acceleration. So labor is not taking more away from capital and growing. And typically at this point of the economic cycle, we should expect to see labor kind of take more share of the capital pie. And that's not happening as well on the not great side.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that's the wages have been kind of a thing I've been beating the drum about for a long time. And I just think, and look, this is 1 month, right? We're not going to make too much out of it. But again, I keep hearing from everybody. What?
It's not 1 month.
Well, what I was going to say is I keep hearing from everybody that wage growth is about to pick up, wage growth is about to pick up, wage growth is about to pick up, and wage growth has not picked up to a degree at which you can start saying, oh, this reflects a solid economy. I mean, you look at that 2.4% the year-over-year wage growth this month. You know, that's not a particularly strong number. And it's not going in the right direction either.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Directionally, it's also it strikes me, you know, one of the things you look at is we're seeing a moderation in job growth. Like the numbers coming down. It's 180 after being over 200 last year. But we're not – and we should expect that as the labor market tightens. But we're not seeing the wage growth that you'd expect as the job market tightens. And do you have any sort of explanation as to why that could be happening, Mike?
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting is that you actually are starting to see a little bit of turnover in jobs. Remember, earlier in the cycle – it was, you know, just having a job was a good thing. Now with unemployment below 5% and some tightening in the labor conditions, you are beginning to see turnover. And what's interesting is where you're seeing turnover, where people are leaving for another job, their wages are accelerating closer to 4%, which is historically where you would start to see that wage acceleration. However, there's just not enough of those folks at this point in the economic cycle, and that's kind of what's holding that broader number back. But where there are folks who are leaving, they're leaving for better jobs, they're leaving for raises, and we see wage acceleration there, very healthy sign. There's just not enough of them to overwhelm the aggregate number to push it higher at this point, and that's a bit surprising given where we are in terms of the economic cycle.
Right. Yeah, and I'm trying to get this in front of me now because I want to try to get these numbers correctly. We did our live blog this morning, You folks can go see that on the MoneyBeat blog. We always live blog the jobs report. We kind of break down all the numbers. And one of the things I try to do every month is take a look at, because what the BLS does is in the establishment survey, there are the two surveys in the report. In the establishment survey, they break down by sector what jobs, you know, what sectors were hiring. And they'll always give you, you know, the top four or five sectors that added the most jobs. So what I really like to try to do is take those top sectors and then go look at the table. I think it's table B8, which shows you what average wages are and weekly wages are, and look at who hired in the past month and what wages they're paying. And one of the concerning things, of course, is that this month the top two sectors were sectors that don't really pay great wages. And I think that's always something we need to keep an eye on is who is high. You know, it's one thing if the report comes in and it's, oh, 278, even 151. If the sectors that are doing all the hiring are sectors that don't pay great wages, that's not really a particularly good sign. And I think that's something that you have to be concerned about. It's not just who's hiring. It's what are they paying and what's the job growth look like there. You know, financial services, great sector. And actually, I think financial services looked the best this month. They had a decent number of gains, and the job growth there was good. I forgot the number was offhand. But then you look at, you know, hospitality, you know, restaurant hiring. You look at social services, which, you know, added, I think, 22,000 jobs. Those sectors don't pay as well. So I always think you have to kind of look at it in terms of not just what the number is, but not just what sectors, but what the sectors pay. I don't think that was really a question, Michael. It was more of a little pontificating, but
yeah,
you want to riff
on
that.
That's right. I think that's been one of the stronger criticisms of the employment gains that we've seen over the years. Too many of them have been temporary or part-time or in jobs that, as you describe, are not historically kind of those long-term, high-paying jobs. And I think that continues to be some of the criticisms. As you rightly point out, though, financial services added, professional and business services added. And so that does offset some of that weakness. However, there continues to be pretty healthy gains in education and healthcare, retail trade, some of the others where perhaps they're kind of a little less from a long-term and high-paying perspective.
Yeah. And let's put this in the broader perspective. Where do you see, and you touched on this at the top there of the interview, but I want you to kind of dive a little deeper into it. I mean, where does this fit in with the overall economic picture, and where do you think we are? I mean, we've had three straight quarters of GDP growth that was about 1%, really weak. Where do you see the economy right now?
I've been describing this economy for a while as living in growth purgatory. And what I mean by that is if nirvana is economic growth rates of 3% or more, where we have been historically, we can't quite seem to get to heaven. On the flip side, my view is that permanent liquidity provided by global central banks, including the Federal Reserve, prevents us from getting into a recession or something worse, if that's your kind of abyss, if that's your underworld. So what's left over? Well, we're stuck in purgatory. And purgatory, as you describe, is kind of ho-hum economic growth of around 2%, a very accommodative monetary policy, low interest rates, and pretty low inflation. And I think that's where we continue to live and where in this kind of underwhelming recovery.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave it there. Michael, I want to thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it was really great. Thanks for coming in. Michael Aroney, who is Chief Investment Strategist at State Street Global Advisors. Everybody, have a great and safe and happy Labor Day weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.